Well, we want to welcome all of those who are joining us on this podcast. We are endeavoring to start in this book of Revelation, the very first chapter. We have a faithful group here, and we want to make sure that all T's are crossed and I's are dotted as we have journeyed slowly through the book of Daniel, and have learned quite a bit about prophecy, a prophetic word. We have come to understand symbolism, what God can put in an association to something that we can see to something that we cannot see. In Daniel, we had several symbols of lions and of people having lion type attitudes, those that were extra aggressive, those that were territorial, those that were dominant. So as we have come through that book of Revelation to understand when God speaks of something that is inanimate, that there are some characteristics that go along with that that we should take into consideration as we continue to read on. And of course, in Daniel, there were some statements made about future events, which has to do with the prophetic. Being prophetic means that there is something said today that is not happening today, but will happen in the future. Of course, a lot of time can go by. And so when we're looking at prophecy, it's not necessarily going to happen within our time frame, but it's just depending on who is delivering the word and the word delivered. So we want to, before we start in the book of Revelation, we want to ask if all hearts and minds are clear. Are there any questions from Daniel that maybe were not quite answered to your satisfaction, and maybe how that might have related to Revelation, or how the book of Daniel relates to you? So I want to open up the floor to anyone who may have a question in reference to Daniel. Was there any particular scriptures that ties to Revelation that you didn't quite see how I was going to make it, but
Well, I can say going through the book of Daniel really encouraged me, because Daniel was faithful and he was diligent at doing what the Lord had him to do. And even in all his faithfulness and diligence, he never was delivered from being in bondage, but he stayed faithful until the end. So that just lets me know that whatever God has you in at that moment, he has a purpose for you, and it's just for you to go through it and be faithful.
And to add on to what Rose just said, is one of the things that I concluded in chapter 12 of Daniel, is the fact that the angel, when Daniel told the angel that he did not fully understand the final vision, and it would appear as we sit here today and read the word of God, we are one up on Daniel because we have the word of God. We see and we know what the end time will be like, whereas Daniel didn't quite grasp it when the angel told him, "Fear not, your reward is waiting on you, so don't worry about it." So, but I say we are one up on Daniel in that regards.
True. Rose brought out a good point. I just want to elaborate just a bit to say, in your lot in life, because everybody's been given a hand to play, and everybody's been given a situation to deal with, and for lack of a better term, let me say everybody has a cross to bear.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in the midst of bearing your cross, if indeed God shares something special with you, it's not for us to look at why me. Okay. So when you look at Daniel, he was somebody who had, to the best of his knowledge, had grasped what faith was, to the best of his knowledge. He got captured when he was young, but what he received prior to being captured settled in. I mean, he had a conviction. Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's somebody that had conviction. They got put into a situation. So it doesn't matter about your situation if God wants to use you. You can say, well, I'm not this and I'm not that. Or I'm going through this and I'm going through that. That has nothing to do with what God imparts to you and asks you to do. All right? We have to look beyond ourselves. And so you had Daniel saying, man, I'm in bondage, but he never did say I'm in bondage, right?
Right.
He just went on with what God had given him to do and walked in the grace that he was given. And so that's what we have to do. We have to understand that we've been given a grace to walk. And of course, I want to throw this scripture out. It says that God has his treasure in earthen vessels. So it doesn't matter about whether it's Daniel or whether it's about you. You got some issues too, but that's not what God is looking at. God is looking at your heart, because your flesh has got some issues. You know, whether it's in bondage physically or it's in bondage mentally. Well, when I said physically, it could be a person could have an issue with his flesh, and God can still use him. I take Daniel for an example. David. Okay, David was a man after God's own heart, but David had a lust problem. Mm-hmm. And it was a bad one. But in the midst of all of that, David still had a heart after God. So when we try to be so pious and we try to be, you know, so good, we have to still rely on God to help us through our frailties and through our faults, and be faithful in that which we are given. We're not going to always see the end result. That's my number three. We're not always going to see the end result. If we did, would that be faith?
No.
Doesn't have to have faith to see. If you can see it physically.
Right. Right. So when I just want to throw something out, because I'm glad he said that. God has given us everybody in this room and everybody that's listening a ministry, and that's the ministry of reconciliation. What we don't see is how our testimony can help reconcile somebody back to Christ. We don't see how many people would be reconciled back to Christ through our ministry. So since we have that ministry of reconciliation, do we ever think in our mind, okay, since I have that ministry, I'm going to focus on how many people I can talk to this month, this year, mm-hmm. this week? Mm-hmm. Because if we have a ministry of reconciliation, that means that whenever we're available, then God can use us to help reconcile the loss back to himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we do that?
Through sharing your testimony.
Through sharing your testimony? Through what else?
Prayer.
What else?
And helping somebody else.
Helping somebody else, which is a demonstration. Is that not fruit of the...
Fruit of the Spirit.
Right. So then, you know, if you're connected in, then you should be bearing some fruit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So not only that, it could be our lifestyle. People could be looking at us and say, you know, I would have been tore up by that situation, but I see that God that's something that that's got you through that situation. I'd fall apart. If that had happened to me, I'd have lost it, but you didn't lose it. So then through that testimony, and then listen, through that conversation about that testimony, now comes that reconciliation. So here we are, I drew a lot from Daniel. I drew a lot from that, and here we are not in bondage. What can we do? And here was somebody that was in bondage, and look what he did. He still yet spoke for God, right?
Right.
And he spoke it to a folk that was in bondage.
Yeah.
You know, he had to go and give that revelation to people that were being abused. Some was even killed.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to yet say, God's going to be good to us in the midst of that.
Right.
Right? So that's to me, that's the tough part, to not get caught up in the situation, but to know that through the situation, God going to get the glory. You out on the street and you talking to people that they drunk while you talking to them. You know what I'm talking about? They high while you're talking to them. But yet you still got to give it to them because you still planting, you could be watering, and you don't know what stage that God got you in that particular process.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why a lot of times we just have to be conscious of that. It's amazing I got a lot out of that, out of Daniel, you know, and then to be able to, again, look at reconciliation and say, I'm going to really be a part of that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then for Daniel to be talking to people who are probably saying, well, how long?
Right.
Are we going to be in this situation? You know, because they were in there for a long time.
And some of them didn't get out.
Exactly.
Some of them did not get out. Look how many people, how many transitions he made through different kings and kingdoms, and yet God still stayed him. In position of power. And look how many people he got to help through each administration.
Right.
Because every time somebody came in, somebody died.
Yep.
All of them wasn't good that he worked through. So some folks lost their life in the midst of that. Right.
That's so true.
Maybe Daniel understood what caused them to be in bondage. Really, he could accept it as well as he did. Maybe he knew what they messed up.
And I want to take that one step further. When you are given that much grace to entertain angels, that takes it to a whole nother level right there.
Mm.
The gift that he had to be able to see takes you to another level. Everybody can't see. Everybody's not given interpretation like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what else? If not, we're going to get serious here.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Anybody else? Here we are, good group. We have finally arrived at the book that you all have been really looking forward to getting into. And that is the book of Revelation. All right? Who wrote this book?
John the Revelator.
John the Revelator. Why do you think John was the one that got to do this?
The book
was a yielded vessel.
What did you say, Ben?
He was a yielded vessel. What else did John?
The book was ascribed as written by John. However, there are some skeptics that disagree. They maintain it was John the Presbyter, and all of that was proven to be impossible,
mm-hmm.
as well. And even some of the skeptics, they maintain that John was or was not the brother of James, and that kind of thing as well. But God could have chosen anyone to do this, but it was John who was exiled, even though he, correct me if I'm wrong, let me tell my elder, correct me if I'm wrong, if he was exiled to Patmos, but he did not die on Patmos.
Correct.
John, correct. I heard him say correct in a low voice there. He was exiled, but he did not die on Patmos because of the Emperor Domitian. He was,
Domitian.
Same thing. We play with these names so much.
I can't pronounce
them. And Trajan was another one. He was the bugbear as well. But all said and done, it was attributed to John as being the writer of Revelation. And another point I may bring out is the fact that Portia mentioned this last week. It's so true. There are some books that call it the Revelation of St. John. That is just as erroneous as pouring water up a greasy rope. The book itself is the Revelation of Jesus Christ.
Which we're going to hold that thought. I want to continue on it with John a little bit because there are some points I want to bring out. What else about John that would make him a very good candidate to talk about this revelation of Jesus Christ?
Well, just from reading about John, it seemed like John was level-headed.
No, so Peter, he was level-headed?
Yes. Peter was very emotional. You know what I'm saying?
When you compare the two, yes.
Yeah. So that's probably not a reason, but the biggest reason I think is because God is sovereign and he chose the one he wanted to use.
What other characteristic about John that would have made him a good candidate to write the book about Jesus?
Was it the...
Well, he was an eyewitness of a lot of the events.
Ah, okay. So he had kind of been around a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was he close to Jesus?
Very close.
Him and Peter.
So he was one of the big three.
Peter, him, and John, James, and John.
All right. So he was number one. He was one of the big three.
And I think he was so close that the others was a little envious, you know. Because of when Jesus was saying, you know, how their end would come, the first thing they want to know is, well, what about John?
Right.
You know.
Right. So he was close. He was one of the big three. And in the book of John, do we not have one of the most explicit? In the beginning was the Word. If you want to talk about an excellent way of explaining who Jesus is, how he was manifested in the flesh and all that, if you go through the book of John, you get a pretty good revelation just from his book on who Jesus was.
Well, you're right in that last statement you made there. The book itself is... The meaning of Revelation is in the word itself.
Right.
It means that it's unveiling the revelation of, as we said earlier, of Jesus Christ. This is all about Jesus Christ. The end time, as to how he explained, the angel explained this to Daniel, and Daniel didn't see it. And when you look at, I would say, Genesis 1, Genesis 3, 18 or 19, when sin came into the world,
mm-hmm.
when he made an avenue of escape to bring the people back to him, you're seeing the end of this in the book of Revelation.
Absolutely. So I wanted us to think about in order to get a great understanding, you have You have one explanation of who he is. Now that we got revelation, we see the end result of what was started in the beginning. So you got in the beginning was the Word. And so now what happens at the end? The same Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us is going to come back and finish up all that was started back then. All right? So when you look at John, you said, what better person to get this revelation is from the one that had a revelation. Not only did he see him, not only did he handle him, but he also explained it in terms that just about everybody can get. When you look at the book of John, John showed him as light, as bread, as water. Did he way, truth, life, good shepherd?
True vine,
mediator, great physician, right? John put it in so many ways that if you read that book, how can you not understand who the Father is, right? Mm-hmm. Because his Son has demonstrated and has the characteristics of the Father, which is all about for us, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to lay all of that out and say when you get ready to get this book and it says about the revelation of Jesus Christ, then this is one last piece of the puzzle. And all of the other things have been filled in pretty much, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, why did he come? He's the Lamb that's come to take away the sins of the world. I mean, he's laid all of this stuff out. Now we get the end result of it all. This is the end of the story. This is the last piece.
I also think, because of the book of John, that gave him credibility to the one that was questioning whether he wrote Revelation.
Right.
Because like you said, he received a revelation of who Jesus was. And so this is like a continuation of that same vein. Because mm-hmm. he got the revelation in the beginning with the Word. He equated Jesus to being the Word. So, I think that's why.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get our jackhammers out and going in there. It says the revelation of who?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Now, which God gave unto him. Who is him?
Jesus.
John.
Oh,
Jesus. Boom. I was waiting.
My him is in a capital H.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Does it say capital?
It's a capital.
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's go into this. Everything that is given to us, it comes through who?
Jesus.
It comes through Jesus. We don't know anything apart from him. We were disconnected through sin. Our only way to get back connected is through who?
Jesus Christ.
It's through Jesus Christ. So it says, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Now, if you look at that next statement, you said unto his servants. Jesus was the one, the shepherd of the flock. He's the one that called all the disciples unto himself, right? Mm-hmm. So that the revelation of who he was given from him to them, right? Mm-hmm. All right? He sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Don't it make sense now?
Mm-hmm.
See, it says he sent and signified what? That revelation about the end result of who Jesus was by that angel unto his servant John. Now, how does that tie in to Daniel? An angel was used before to come in to help explain what was sent to him. Mm-hmm. All right, so here we got a little parallel in there.
Well, I also looked at it like that because
when they asked Jesus before he left about the end times, and he was saying, the Father will let us know when it's time at that time.
Right.
And so here the Father is letting Jesus know so he could pass it on.
Right. That this will be
right.
the time. And right. this is what to look forward to because this is what's coming.
Right.
Right? Is there a difference between prophecy and revelation?
Or
out of prophecy comes revelation?
Prophecy is forth-telling.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, if you're forth-telling, then revelation would come out of prophecy, wouldn't it?
Well, the revelation is going to come when the prophecy comes to pass. Giving you a preview,
yes.
but not the whole revelation of it. Daniel saw some things, but he didn't get the whole picture of what he saw.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and a lot of what we're gonna see right here, we're not gonna get the revelation of it until we are involved in it. Now we're getting to see who Christ is as we walk through revelation, but it comes through each part being explained. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ of all the things that he saw. Now he the angel came and it says who bore record of the word of God. The angel had a word, right? John had a word too, didn't he? Right? And of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Let me see what that thing said. Okay. Anybody wanna elaborate on this shortly?
Well, it's just letting us know in the beginning that John is going to tell us what he saw. It's sort of like giving a confirmation to what's coming later.
Anybody else with this shortly?
You're looking at two individuals, the angel and John, who mm-hmm. both are witness to what is going on. So the angel in verse 1 it says signified it by his angel, then in 2 unto his servant John, and in 2 who, now the who there, I'm not sure if you're talking about John or the angel, say who bear record of this word of God, the word of God. So that could be John in verse 2 who also is bearing witness of the same word.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Surely it means to me it's coming quicker than we think it is.
That time frame is not our time frame.
No.
And so when it says shortly, and I'm just talking now, we're just having conversation, has to do with not our framework of time, but God's framework of time. I have a note here. It says we are given the evangelists give an account of things that are past. Prophecy gives us an account of things to come. These future events are shown not in the clearest light which God has set them, but in such a light as he saw more proper and would be best answered by his wise and holy purposes. When we read Revelation, we must at all times have the Spirit of God with us to illuminate what's being said. Mm. The average man picking up the book of Revelation, just like any other part of this scripture, is not going to be able to see the kingdom. It said the natural man can't even fathom what's going on in God's realm. Mm. Am I right?
That's right.
Yes. So I just want us want us to understand.
The message does dictate that verse number two, that who is actually John.
Mm-hmm. That's out of the message?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now here it says, it signifies to John, who bore record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ of all things he saw. It is observable that historical books of the Old Testament have not always the name of the historian prefixed before him. Some books, like Judges, Kings, Chronicles, but in the prophetic books, there was always a name attached to it, such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, and so forth. So in the New Testament, though John did not prefix his name to this epistle, yet he does to this prophecy. As ready to vouch and answer for the truth of it, he gives us not only his name, but his office. He was the one who bore record of the word of God in general, which we can go back to the book of John and the book of John and testify to that. All right. Anything else y'all want to pull out of that? Verse 3. Blessed is he. Now I do have a footnote here. It says the footnote is apostolic benediction. That's the footnote. All right. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. What is our blessing?
That we are able to notice.
A privilege to be able to even get it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Everybody's not getting it. Mm-hmm. When you go into the Beatitudes, blessed is the man that walketh not, right? When you get into that being blessed, everybody is not getting it. So God has appointed for you, if you're in it and can get it, you're going to be not only just blessed, but you will continue to be blessed. And it's going to talk about it, especially if you hold on to it. Right? What is our expectation anyway? What's our end game as being a Christian?
To be reconciled to Christ, to go to heaven.
Ah, yeah. That there's going to be a judgment, right? Mm-hmm. That this life that we lived is not going to be in vain. That there is going to be a reward. And I think we don't talk that much about reward in church much.
No.
We don't. We spend a lot of time talking about sin. We spend a lot of time talking about different apostles. We spend a lot of time talking about gifts. But all of that is temporary. This is talking about the end. What's going to be eternal? Our walk with him. Mm-hmm. It's going to be eternal. That is a reward. There's a paycheck coming for the work that we do.
Paycheck.
Yeah. Listen, if the wages of sin is death, then isn't there a wage that's going to be given for obedience?
Eternal life.
Right?
And you sometimes you have to wrap your mind around that eternal life. You know, what does that look like? What does it feel like?
It feel like better than here.
Yeah.
I can say I got an expectation that truly, like the old folks said, one day there's going to be no more pain.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right?
Yeah, there's going to be
in that great getting
no
up morning, that's going to be the last getting up I'm going to do.
No more sorrow, no more crying.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
So this is the blessing, that we can know that this is temporary and that we got a house not built with hands.
Yes.
That there's something else coming beside this temporal situation that we in.
Yes.
And you know how temporary it is? It's 24 hours worth.
Explain.
Yesterday.
Okay.
Now.
Okay.
There's tomorrow. There's another 24 hours that can make today look like nothing. Mm-hmm. You can be so blessed tomorrow that you'll never think about what happened yesterday.
Okay.
You see what I'm talking about? There's a 24-hour period that can make everything different. That's why I don't understand suicide.
Oh.
No, I'm just talking. I'm saying because in a 24-hour period, something can change.
Exactly.
And all of that is bad. You women who gave birth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you going through the birthing process? Boy, oh my God. But in 24 hours, oh my God, there's a whole different oh my God,
yes.
You know, from in 24 hours.
Yeah,
There's a whole different oh my God. So is it oh my God or oh my God?
Because it's really a miracle to have kids. You know.
One note, and it can be verified, but when it says blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy, from what I've read and what I've studied, this is the only book that tells you you will be blessed from reading it and hearing it. There's no other book in the Bible, even though you are blessed.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the only one that actually says that.
That if you do it.
Yes.
And if you read it and hear it.
Yes.
And now, there's another and on there now. There's another and with it.
And keep.
And keep. So now a lot of people read and a lot of people hear it. But are they keeping those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand?
Reads aloud.
And to translate
aloud.
That, really, and to keep is mean to obey. To keep.
Yes.
To obey.
Yeah, to keep. Yeah.
What you have
see,
read
they,
to retain.
They're not going to break that word down to get that out.
Your heart within.
What's the Message Bible say on that? Because I'd have to go through a whole nother.
It says, how blessed the reader, how blessed the hearers and keepers of those oracle words, all the words wherein in this book, this is just about up. And what he's talking about, this is just about up.
Time.
Yeah. About up?
Up.
You
our, right, time. Our time frame is about
okay.
up. So you got to hold it because.
It's what he's talking about, it's Bible theology. What he's talking about there is the rapture is near.
Right. I looked at it personally.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here 66 years. It's been a fast 66.
Don't it go fast?
No, I'm serious. It's been a fast 66. I remember 30, partying like a rock star. Man, gone, you know, disco music, don't even play it no more. I'm just saying, you know, that whole lifestyle, what folk were thinking about is gone. We got a whole new thing going on. I'm like, wow.
And we're called old fogies.
Hey, old school.
Old school, yeah. That's
yeah.
Right.
So I'm just, you know, I think about time. I think about time. And how much time do we have? I can't go back. I can't go back and try to pick up none of that. But boy, I can sure put the pedal to the metal of what I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where I am right now. I have realized that I can get a lot more done in a 24-hour period now than I ever have in life.
Sure.
Also, it just feels like things have just sped up.
Yes.
I mean, it's just
it's
much
not just
faster.
Old people saying that either.
Yeah, it's just, you know, before you know it, the day is gone.
Gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you do what you have to do because my mom always say, time waits for no one.
And it does not.
You know, waits for no one.
That was
it
a
does
song
not.
Too,
what was we saying the other day? About 3 weeks ago? Tomorrow is never present. Yesterday is gone.
It's gone.
Yesterday is gone.
It's gone.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, you never see.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's always today.
It's always today.
Always today.
Well,
because when you wake up tomorrow, it's going to be today.
What?
You know,
it is. Because it's gone.
I worked for Red Cross, so before 2000 came into play, my table at home had more phones and bells and whistles for
the world was going to come to an end, like these bells and whistles was going to make a difference,
right?
You know, but you know, everybody was 2000 will never meet. Computers were going to go down. I mean, it was just all doomsday.
Yeah.
It was doomsday. You know, mm-hmm. people had barrels with food and
water, food
generators.
Generators. Mm-hmm. It was just crazy. Yeah. And now we're what?
Digital on a computer.
Yes. And now we're what?
2018.
And you know, a point on what Rose just said there about the world coming to an end. Take us. I'll take you back to 2300 days in the book of Daniel, which in excess was 2300 years. When you get to studying into that little 2300 years there, you would assume that the world was coming to an end in 1844. And that's how people, the skeptic, I would
right.
say. That's
mm-hmm.
why,
right.
When you, I'm serious, you get into, you look at it, that's when I say, Portia told me to stop bothering her. we have some sidebar conversations. She looked it up, you know. But when you look at when Daniel was, I think it was in chapter 7 or 8, when he's talking about 2300 days, which equates to 2300 years, you can do the math on that thing, and the end time would be 1844.
Mm-hmm. And people still talking about it's going to be tomorrow. It's going to be, you know, all around the country, people got their own little chronological thing. Mm-hmm. When the scripture says,
no one knows. No
you on. You how you gonna know?
Exactly.
You that privileged that when Jesus said, I don't even know.
Yeah.
But you know.
There was a guy, I can't recall his name, but he was publicly declaring that the end was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And he told all the people they needed to get rid of all their money, get rid of all their all their earthly possessions.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't going to do no good.
Yeah.
And I think they were giving it to him, wasn't they?
I think so.
Yeah.
So I don't know where he is now. Where is he at?
I think he's dead.
Yeah, I think he is.
I think he
does.
Yeah.
So the end was
coming. The reason I
say
that because I was looking at something on the internet in that regards, and it said this particular person had passed.
Mm-hmm.
But wasn't he living in the mountains or something? But he was publicly saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say the time is near.
And he had people believing it. I'm talking about people in the church.
There's a gullible group.
In the church now.
There's a gullible
everywhere.
Group.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Because
I was thinking, how could they drink that Kool-Aid?
Jim Jones?
No, I'm just, you know, how could they drink that Kool-Aid?
Many of them were forced to drink. I like a gun was to their head if they didn't.
Yeah, that was Jim Jones, wasn't it?
I would have ran. They would have to shoot me in the back.
Jim Jones,
the
yeah.
Down in Brazil.
No, the question was, what are you doing there in the first place? It ain't, yeah. You know, that's my whole thing.
Yeah.
You know,
he convinced them to even
right to even go that far.
Yeah, to go that far and follow him.
Brainwash. All right. So now we got a question here. Now I got verse 4 coming up, and we already after 1 o'clock.
Uh-oh. What's the question?
Y'all want to jump in 4? Because 4 is kind of serious here.
Yes.
Say when you're looking at Brazil.
Y'all want to jump into 4?
How long it going to take us?
It's on y'all. I'm just saying it's a lot of meat in here.
Something northern.
I think we need to start.
All right, let's do 4. All right, verse 4. John to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne.
Who are the 7 spirits that are before his throne?
That's the Holy Spirit.
7 spirits?
Who are the 7 churches?
The 7 churches is coming. They're going to explain all this. They're going to break the 7 churches down.
Okay.
Down in verse. Churches. We going to get to that. I was going to.
It was almost like each church was assigned their own spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. The 7 churches are in verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
They were.
They were.
Just to get ahead of the game, they were actually churches by that
they
name.
They were actual churches.
Right.
Yes. By that name.
Right.
But I believe, correct me, got our master teacher over here. Correct me if I'm wrong, But I believe those seven churches deal with the seven ages of the church.
Yes.
They're different.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Each one has come up until where we are right now.
Right.
There's an age that this church was operating like this. Mm-hmm. But it was literal churches.
Literal churches.
Uh-huh. Right. Now let me operate in another vein here and give an explanation. There are stages of human life. Mm-hmm. All right. You come in here as a child, you move from child to what's the next one?
To toddlers.
Toddlers, then from toddler to
adolescent.
No. You move toddlers. from infancy to toddler to child.
Yeah. Then from child to. So I'm just saying this is how we need to look at how God started out from sin, okay, mm-hmm. to having people to understand sacrifice, mm-hmm. right, and then from that to a prophet bringing a word and people coming into the word hopeful for Christ, the salvation to come. In the Old Testament, they're looking for him, right?
Right.
Okay, so then that's another phase, all right? Mm-hmm. And then we get into when he comes, the apostles now go out and start churches. Mm-hmm. Okay. These are all stages. As we went... I went through a healing stage. Mm-hmm. I went through the faith stage. This is all, if you would use your spiritual insight, the church is now getting ready for that last where we're going to be before the end. Mm-hmm. Can we see now that where the church is? Do we know where the church is?
We're in the final stage.
Right, but what is the characteristics that's going on in our church now?
Revival?
At large.
Oh, at large.
At large, not necessarily here, but if you would look at the church at large, you're going to find where we are.
The true church, not just the people who are the call. You're talking about the called out ones,
right? Because a developmental process has gone mm-hmm. all the way through. When you get to Laodicea, mm-hmm. you should be able to know where that church that was lukewarm.
Okay.
You see,
okay.
I'm talking about when okay. what area was the church in when it was lukewarm? Mm-hmm. You see, I'm talking about.
He's talking about not just a particular church.
Right.
Right. I'm just talking about the church as a whole. We have gone through some transition. Mm-hmm. The church as a whole.
You're asking where is it?
I say I want you to think about it. Oh, I'm not going to tell you where it is.
I think we're waking up. Many of us are waking
where
up.
Where is the church now as a whole?
But when overall. I was reading,
and I'm just saying, go
right,
ahead.
I saw a little bit of each one of them mm-hmm. in the churches mm-hmm. that are being delivered. I just, you know. Well, I even saw a little bit of me.
When I've looked at the various churches there,
God, I was like, Lord, Jesus.
Yep. Even those Sardis, all the churches had some issues. Okay,
right.
Everyone
right.
did.
Right.
When I look at those churches and compare where, not say our church. As a whole in this nation,
mm-hmm.
today, mm-hmm. we're like Laodicea to me. Mm-hmm. We don't know what we want to do. We want to straddle a fence. Mm-hmm. We don't know whether we're hot, cold, lukewarm, or whatever the case may be. So mm-hmm. when I could look at Sardis, now them folks was dead. Mm. They were dead.
I'm going to be ugly.
We've been dead.
Listen, I'm going to be ugly. That there's a denomination out there right now that's dead.
Mm-hmm.
The people go in, they do liturgical stuff.
They go through the ritual.
They go, they sing and they do all that dead as a doorknob. Ichabod stamped on the door. They going in but they're ready to tell you this is my church. This is what we do. Mm. Well, what is anybody getting saved in there?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Is there any life of the spirits in it? But it's that church. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm talking about? This is where they go. There's a lot of them dead. As a donor.